from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
So we got 50 days, right? 50 days before the first game. You know, it's time to go, right? It's go time, and we're excited about that. Great to have the players back in the building, really building off of, the 9-week program that we had. You know, so it was the whole mind, body, spirit. We're, trying to really do a great job of building those guys up. And then we really challenged the guys in the summer to level up, to really level up in their conditioning, level up in their mental aspect of the game, knowing the scheme, studying, and being on it. So those all lead to execution.
That's the watchword of camp so far, is level up. See if the Bears are able to do that this season. That, of course, was the voice of Matt Eberflus. And if we sound a little bit different and we look a little bit different on Twitch today, that's because we are out broadcasting live from the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville until 2 o'clock today. And we are brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. Bosch Power Tools are engineered to meet the needs of workers, and Bosch Tools take care of the job and you.
And the Bosch folks are right here.
I know. They have great power tools. I know, and thank you for joining us today. Thanks for being a part of this.
They're just hanging out.
Yeah.
Enjoying themselves.
Yeah, waiting for the awesome food anytime now. You know, we're going to have chicken strips and sliders and pizza.
You don't know like that's what we're going to have?
I'm wish casting. I'm speaking it into existence.
All right, it didn't work with the egg salad last week.
So there was a wish on egg salad?
He's 0-1.
Well, Schmaltz Deli showed up, and I was kind of dropping hints and trying to put it in the ether that if I said egg salad enough, their egg salad would appear.
He just would say it, like egg salad, randomly.
So Mark from Schmaltz was there, and Mark said, "Hey man, I'm sorry about the I don't have egg salad." So he greeted me and said, "I'm sorry. I guess I'll just have to have all of this lox and cream cheese and bagels and capers and all that. I'll just have to make do with that."
Yeah, like the really good food that they bring us for free.
Yes.
That's kind of what with that.
Yeah, it's like, sorry about the exile, but here, have fun.
Lawrence, I appreciate your journey to SEC Media Days last week.
Sports
and
animals.
Then with many sports animals.
Sports animals.
It was actually a sports menagerie. So after coming back,
Neutral of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with Lawrence Holmes, wearing a pith helmet and John.
It
Purse.
Was actually Sports Animal Kingdom.
As he's walking through the sports animals. That's one. Be very, very quiet. This is the sports animal from Tampa. It's the mating season. Yeah. You cannot go near unless some horrible thing can happen to you. Sorry.
Well, that's a mental picture I didn't need today. So you were on the same page. We were a little bit on how to address training camp.
Yeah, here's what I think I know the answer, and I'm not sure that it's going to matter because we kind of do what we want. But I am curious on how people want camp covered. Because if you look at the way that this offseason has gone, the offseason has been celebratory. Like, it's, I don't want to say like mission accomplished, but it kind of feels like that, where everything that Ryan Poles wanted to do, he pretty much did. They got the Jalen Johnson thing done, and he was honest about that, where he's like, I think we're pretty close. And then it was like, oh, well, the deadline is passed. And like 2 days later, they had a deal with Jalen Johnson. They had put all this stuff in place to get the number one pick, and they got him. And there's been no shenanigans. We haven't had to worry about Caleb going anywhere or anything like that. Roma Dunze gets drafted, and he's probably of the guys that were available when you started thinking about matching Caleb Williams to another player in the draft. His was the name that most Bears fans came up with. So not only is it Ryan Poles getting stuff done, but for the most part, everything that he's done has matched what the public has been on. You know, where Bears fans themselves looked at Roma Dunze last season and in the playoff and went, man, that would be really nice if they did that. Them adding Keenan Allen, like, there is a celebratory, like, the Bears are moving in the right direction type thing. My question is, do people then want to just live in that? Is everything great? Does nothing matter because they did what they were supposed to do, and everything between now and the beginning of the season is great, and there is no room for speculation or criticism if things don't go to plan necessarily?
I think there's a whole faction of people who just want us to be cheerleaders about sports all the time, regardless. You know, I encounter that on a daily basis.
And it's weird because
really, just people like hooray sports.
No, it's if you bring up stats to say, here's why I think somebody is struggling, or if you bring up a record to describe what's going on in the NL Central, if you just normal things. They just don't like that from a lot of people.
That you would expect are usually conversations that are being had by people. Like, when people will see us on the street or at an event or at a restaurant, be like, hey, how's Caleb looking? Like, I always expect that people will want us to be honest with them in our opinion and not just, oh, everything's going to be great. Like, this is going to be the best thing that's ever happened, and you need to declare that and not be critical at all when discussing it. And it's weird because, to your point, Layla, we're in this because we love sports. Like, that's
right.
That's like the baseline of it is loving sports. I just wonder, how do people want, like, what do they want the Yaha time with Grody, or do they want to get down with it and talk about some of the stuff that's happening? And there's room for both.
Well, loving sports doesn't necessarily mean unconditionally loving a team when it's your job to be objective about it. And I would love nothing more than for every Chicago team to have a championship parade. That's good every year. That's great for everybody involved. But part of what to love is knowing how hard sports are at this level. That at the very highest professional level, that we, as Bears fans, you know that nothing's anointed, nothing's promised. No matter what, where the arrow says you're going, injuries could derail anything at any moment. Where you're drafted often has no bearing on how good you are,
yeah.
Even though the larger trends suggest some that most good players come for the first round. There's no guarantees.
But if you look at like the hit rate on first round quarterbacks, it's not great. And I think that at least, I get that some of this is just the reaction to what we get as far as intake with social media goes, and that's not always representative. It is sometimes representative.
Especially now.
Yeah, but it's not always representative. But I look at this and say, man, there are a lot of people who are looking at what happened last year with Houston and saying, not that could be us, it should be us.
I feel like we did that, though, with Philadelphia when there was a discussion about the possible arc between Hurts and Fields. I feel like the Bears told you they were good for how many weeks and, frankly, how many months leading up to that first game against the Packers. And what we saw was a systematic failure, We saw a team that thought that it had done all the right things going into training camp, going into the regular season. They had months to prepare for that game, and we saw an unprepared team.
I remember having Adam Hoge on last year, and when he was talking about how Justin Fields didn't look good. And the text line was like, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? It's Preck. And he was very consistent about it and wasn't necessarily the only one, but it was the first time someone said, hey, this needs work. Yep. There are things here that clearly need work.
My issue with all, whenever we try to look at it through the lens of the Justin Fields thing, though, and this is still my position on this, is that, right, he didn't look good. There are reasons why that are beyond him. He's part of it, but that part, that's what one of the things as far as coverage went, that there was a lot of cover for Luke Getsy, and that the fault Agreed. Was Justin Fields and not the combination of the two things not working together. So that bothered me, and it kind of allow for some confirmation bias for people when things didn't go right at the end. And I know that I'm trying to, because I have some questions about Caleb that a lot of them have been answered, though, quite honestly, between the draft process and now. I'm a much bigger fan of the guy than I was before. And it's how he has gone about conducting his business, which I think has been extremely professional and not like all of the warning red signal lights that I was having to farm out of my texts and DMs about Caleb Williams and being very careful about what I said from sources that I had talked to from the league, because it felt like, wait a minute, like you guys are making this kid out to be something that I don't know that there's any real evidence that he is. And it bothered me. But in that, the idea of, think of it this way. If people always will talk about this as the either you're in the Justin camp or you're in the Caleb camp, then people who were in the Caleb camp feel like they won. And so now it becomes like this, it's just a celebration. Oh. And if you can't say anything that might be close to criticism.
Well, that needs to be said then. Look, anything that happens now with Caleb Williams, sink or swim, success, failure, anywhere on that continuum, is not at all a referendum on Justin Fields. At all.
It's a different team. There's different personnel. Look at the wide receivers. Look at the offensive coordinator. Look at the line.
But that's the thing. We're not going to get a controlled experiment because Getsy's gone too.
But I would argue that my hope is that what happened with Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky before him, it informed Ryan Poles on how not to do it.
I mean,
and I think that if you look at the moves that he's made, this feels more like, oh, that was really clunky. We shouldn't do it that way. We shouldn't have a first-time play caller in this position. We shouldn't have a guy that's so rigid in what it is that he's asking guys to do. Like, you hear the
stories.
And a
guy who might not be good at it.
Right.
Because it's only because of proximity to Aaron Rodgers.
And you hear the stories in Pittsburgh where Fields, I guess, was like, oh, well, they asked me to do this. And they're like, what way do you feel comfortable? Well, I like doing it like this. Okay, just do it that way.
Those are people confident in their jobs. Those are people who have experience. But here's the thing. I want to give Ryan Poles the credit when the time is right. I want to give him credit for what he's done now. I like what he's done when it comes to being transparent, when he's talked about the trades that he's made.
Me too.
But I'm not here to say that this is done and I'm happy with what's happened. There are also some concerning things that have occurred. You have to keep in mind previous trades that were made. Can you withstand those? You know, we talk about the 49ers and how they were able to withstand having made big, big trade risk decisions when it came to guys like Trey Lance, and they were able to withstand it because everything else they had done was good. So, okay, you want to take some risks? I'm into it, but what have you showed us that says your process is proven?
I don't want to knock people's enthusiasm because I think that this could be a – I think no matter what, this is going to be an interesting Bear season, and I'm
already
looking
is.
Forward to that. And I do think that there should be some celebration of the process. I think that their process has been there's not a lot to criticize on how we got to here.
Right.
But now the question is, now that we're here and now that we've all acknowledged the way that Ryan Poles has gone about doing this thing has been pretty perfect. But they're still, you know, the idea of is the head coach the right guy? Like, that's a part of this thing too. But I don't want to draw a demarcation line, and I know that's what I'm doing. But I feel like it's totally fine for a Bears fan to be enthusiastic and happy and proud of the job that the Bears have done to kind of get themselves to this point. My whole thing is, now that we're at this point, are we using big boy rules when we're talking about this? If the goal for the Bears in the 2024 season is about them to be a playoff team, then how do we navigate making sure that we're holding them to the playoff standard while not yucking everyone's yum?
I also think that there is a way to meet the player as the player seems to want to be met. And if Caleb Williams is going to come in here as he is, talking about rewriting history, and as confident and professional as he has been, and as we talked about, Layla, he may be an NFL rookie. He's not a rookie pro. He has been a professional football player for some time. Not in the NFL.
But he hasn't, though.
I mean, he's used to getting paid based on his business, which is understandable. So in that respect, I get it.
But in the case of the NFL,
is a different thing.
Like, that's significant. Like, that's
of course it's significant.
And we saw the pressure get to him last year a bit. We did. We saw the pressure get to him last year at times. It was very publicized, crying on the sideline. You know what? I'm sure he's not the only one who's been in that position. My thing is, you have to do it based on individuals. You should have a higher expectation for Jaquan Brisker. He has it on himself. We've seen it. He talked the other day. Talked about being the Avengers, Lawrence. I thought it was a lovely shout-out to you.
I appreciate that.
Other players who Ryan Poles has drafted, all right, you wanted your guys, right? You're your guys' guy outside of like a select few. Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet. We know that you rewarded certain players.
You went out and got the two linebackers that you wanted instead of the linebacker that you had.
Exactly. Tevin Jenkins isn't one of your guys. Chase Claypool was. I'm still like, okay, you know, your team, and when you get your people, what do you want us to do? What's your standard? But you have to at least measure it based on the individual resumes of people. That's why I asked the question about Velus Jones earlier.
I don't care
who his guys are. I care who the Bears' guys are.
As you should. I don't think Caleb Williams expects to be coddled.
Yeah, but the thing is that him not expecting to be coddled doesn't mean that we shouldn't give him the grace of being a rookie quarterback that's going to see some stuff in the first few weeks of the NFL season that he has never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to be fair about that. Like, I don't want, speaking of process, I don't want to jump him into the process of, well, he's a professional, so he should already be ready. He has no idea, none, on what these defensive coordinators are going to do to try to stop him. Now, if it turns out that he's a prodigy and it goes the way that it's gone for a couple other guys in their first year starting out as a quarterback, then great. But I don't think that because he is so mature and he has been living this kind of pro lifestyle without having to play pro ball in the NFL, I don't want to treat him like, you know, he's Patrick Mahomes in year five.
That's why when I'm asked off the air and everybody, it's the first question people have, how's Caleb going to be? And my response is always the same.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, and that's okay, but I just want to make sure that we can still have that and it not just be when's the pep rally? Like, I think that the pep rally has been great, and I think that it should continue up until the season starts. And I think that if there's stuff that happens in between now and the season starting that's not good, then it should be discussed. But I don't want it to be boiled down to if there is something to talk about. Like, the cadence thing, and I think that our show did as good a job of anyone recognizing, hey, wait, that might have been a thing that happened at the end of minicamp and OTAs. And it clearly was. It's to the point where the Bears are saying, no, things are much better now than what they were at the end of it. That shows growth. And we need to continue to look at those areas of showing growth and give him some time. Like, I don't I don't want to walk into this like beating him up because he's not immediately CJ Stroud. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, that's what I am concerned about, that people won't see it happen immediately, and then it's like, ah!
I feel like we had that conversation, too, when we talked about how you can't place all your hopes and dreams on the quarterback, no matter if he is considered generational or not, and we know how much that term gets thrown around. Like, that's a segment we did a few months ago.
A little loose.
Let's give some of the Bears their say on this, because there are already opinions coming out of the people who are on the field with Caleb Williams and more. So we will get to Bears on Bears next on The Score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more...
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Matt Bowen.
I was listening to you guys on the radio one afternoon.
You should be. Everybody should.
I'm not trying to match anyone. That's never the way that I kind of look at things. But I do have people like Cole and DJ that, Cole will correct me when I'm wrong and things like that, whether it's in the huddle, whether we're talking about stuff. Offensive line, we talk constantly about cadence. So it's just trying to get the right rhythm and pace with these guys so we can keep going on that, on the upward trend.
Let's get back to Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Lalo Rahimi, live from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. Brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve.
We keep going on an upward trend. That's how Caleb Williams puts it. It sounds a lot to me like another way of saying level up. Power up.
No one there, except for maybe Matt Eberflus, has ever played Altered Beast.
The only thing we can actually physically power up right now is like a Bosch power tool.
Well, that's right, because that could help you with everything you need for home repair, construction, all of it, whether on the job or at home. That's what you need. Is
or power up.
Or sometimes there's a problem you don't know you're going to have, but you're still going to go ahead and like buy stuff just in case.
Right, and I would have all these tools, and then when they needed to be used, I would call someone who knows how to use them.
Yeah, there are two types
not
of men.
Not me. Destruction.
There are men who do things, and there are men who pay men to do things.
It doesn't have to be men. There could be anyone of any gender who can do things, and that's why I have them do things, because otherwise I turn on a power tool and my finger's gone. Because
yeah, we don't want that.
No.
So clearly you've not turned on a power tool because you have all of your digits.
For now, yes. So far, so
or
good.
Or lit a firework.
Well, that not in my head, though. I have lit fireworks. I just don't place them on my head. We mentioned Bears talking about Bears. Caleb Williams getting ready to level up. Well, Shane Waldron, has he?
I think Caleb did a great job, you know, and in OTAs and in that portion of the rookie segment at the end, and then showing up back here at training camp a step ahead of where he left. So shows that he did a great job during his time away from the building, you know, owning the offense, understanding different calls, and able to come out here and these first two practices and operate at a much higher level than what we left it. And we know it's not where the final product is, but every day we see these incremental improvements leading up to that first game. That's our main goal on offense.
Okay, and so here's part of, to go back to our last segment, we're also going to have to now make sure that when we're listening, how truthful do we think people are being in some of these cuts? Because we know that, like, ordinarily what would happen is we would mock because we're so used to this player came into camp.
Best shape of his life.
Correct.
Or we had a great week of practice.
Yep.
And that's always said. We had a great week of practice. Well, why did you suck? Because it's back to the Mike Tyson theory. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And it is true in the NFL that you can have great camp and you could be healthy and you can have all your systems in and your cadences and your check with me's and all that, and when you get punched in the mouth, all of a sudden you're drawing up plays in the ground with a stick.
Well, and there's the whole, oh, relax, it's only preseason, it's only September.
So let me ask you,
it's
guys,
only New Year's,
because I don't know if you, I don't even know if the news came out before you guys got off the air, but how did you guys react to Eberflus saying that he thinks that for Caleb it's like between 45 and 60 snaps or whatever in the preseason? I think that sounds about right for four games, because I expect, like, the first game is, hey, Caleb, go put your uniform on and go hand the ball off three times in Fine. The first game. And then we kind of build from there where you get to that third one where you go, all right, do you want to play 15 snaps in this game? And we'll have one of those opportunities will be after the second half. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
the dress rehearsal game, as they call it.
Well, I don't even know if they even really think of it that way. But just so that you can go, this is what happens at halftime when we're actually playing. Like, you're right. Like, it should be. But that's another thing that we have to keep an eye on. Eberflus is not in my opinion, I don't want to speak for the show, I don't think that Matt Eberflus has treated the preseason with the respect that it's needed.
Well, or, I mean, there's a good chance he also was trying to protect what they had from being seen.
Exposed.
And that was the only way to do so. But I don't even care at this point. The NFL knows who you are pretty much from immediate word go. So, to me, even with this, I would rather see a player get reps to the point where you're not concerned about an injury risk. And he mentioned the health of the offensive line in that discussion. And I think that was appropriate. But I'm for him. I'd rather have Caleb Williams be comfortable and the league have an idea of what you're going to do than have the air of mystery be the only reason that they have a chance of winning in a game.
And I'm not going to get hung up on the number of snaps, but I liked Eberflus's tone of that answer when he was very clear and immediately started almost nodding his head before the question was done, saying, yeah, he needs reps. Reps in the preseason will matter for him. Let's hear what Keenan Allen, the veteran wide receiver, had to say about his description of Williams' improvements since minicamp.
Just starting out in the walkthrough, everybody being, you know, kind of polished up, knowing what they have, and, you know, not having to repeat any plays, just being professional about, you know, what's going on, and,
I thought it was solid. I thought that was a great start for us. Really, the whole day, I thought it was a great, great start for us. We looked real solid. Like I said, no repeats, and you know, everybody was on the same page.
Who said that Caleb leveled up a couple times in just his operation, understanding of the offense over the summer? How do you describe how quickly he's picking things up over the past month?
I thought it was great. Like I said today, he was real solid. He called the plays way better than he was in OTAs. You know, he felt confident in the plays and knowing what he was doing. And, you know, there was no, I don't know, no timidness from him, you know, today.
Level up. There it was again.
Level up.
That was from, that was actually the, in the question. It wasn't necessarily. I'm just, once a coach starts using terminology at this time of year, it's going to start creeping into everything.
Well, yeah, usually people will take what the coaches said and then use it to send back to players or coaches, mm-hmm. speak in their languages, mm-hmm. like what we were talking about with jargon. This is how that stuff happens.
I think at this point, you're looking more for something that sounds strange than you are normal, right?
I think Keenan Allen has an opportunity to be a truth teller on this team.
Yes, but you, and DJ Moore has been. And I like the possibility of DJ Moore not being the only one.
So like a White Sox veteran that comes in and starts asking the questions about the obvious problems?
What the heck is going on around here?
Why do we do this?
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? In other places where I've been and it's been successful, we do this.
It takes an outsider to say, what the hell is wrong here?
Listen, Keenan Allen.
Why is it so weird?
Keenan Allen told you who he was when he went to Caleb Williams' pro day, and his agent was there with a Death Row Records jacket. Okay, that's all I needed to know.
How far are the White Sox from 80 losses? Let me take a look here.
It's not.
I didn't mean to derail your thought process. But
well, too bad. I think you did. Because it's the middle of July. Yeah, they're at 74 losses.
It's not great. At one point, they...
Good Lord. Good Lord.
Lordy Lord. 74 and, losses.
And they want to trade Garrett Crochet.
Yes.
Like, really?
Do they, though?
Yes. The Nightingale has spoken.
It's going to be awesome when you see Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert Jr. playing for the Dodgers.
Phillies. Oh, the Dodgers? Really? That's terrifying.
Well, they need some help getting there. I think they'll be fine when Mookie comes back and stuff, but I got to get there.
Your backup luxury pieces are Garrett Crochet and Luis.
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
No, I can't. I can't live in this world.
We've got High Noon coming up next. I have a follow-up to a story we did last week that is almost uncanny because I believe this subject was specifically invoked in our previous discussion. It'll come back to you when I get into it.
Oh, you had egg salad?
No, I didn't have egg salad. It wasn't about the egg salad.
You just kept saying, basically, your level up is egg salad. Like, the Bears are going to keep saying level up, and you're going to keep saying egg salad.
Eventually, I'll get, but I'm just too picky about my egg salad. I can't just have any egg salad, because most egg salad's awful.
Wait, so Lawrence, can I be nosy?
Sure.
What is your menu?
I was going to play Who's Singing This?
Okay, if we have time for mine, it is an appropriate eulogy for, frankly, a rock star.
What's next?
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
Time for High Noon. We have been having a fabulous day so far here at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville. We are here thanks to Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. The buffet is out, the food is being enjoyed, and we're looking forward to our conversations with Ian Happ and Curtis Granderson coming up a little bit later. We discussed the Cubs to start and just how you pretty much have to sweep this series. Now, this is it. And the Cubs have not been very good this year, and anytime they want to start being good, we can start taking them seriously as an actual contender. Because right now, in that last weekend, to salvage the last game the way they did with a shrimp, the walk-off walk, it wasn't exactly the kind of performance, regardless of the outcomes themselves. They didn't hit again. They didn't hit.
The problem is not just the lack of hits, it's the subsequent lack of runs. To have four runs an entire series, it's concerning. But I do think at least they got the W there.
We talked to Mark Grody. We talked about the guy in the clown suit who lost his fantasy league. And we discussed how we're going to tell you the truth about Bears training camp, regardless of the loud factions of Bears fandom that exist that seemingly just want reinforcement of seashells and balloons all the time. Well, you're not going to get that here.
Well, I mean, look, when it's appropriate, we are all about these seashells and balloons. Sports is fun.
Yeah, but they got to earn the seashells and the balloons.
And sporps. Also fun.
Sporps.
It's time.
I want you to tell me who's singing this. And I will tell you, although, you know what? I don't want to give you that clue yet. Hit it, studs.
Ave Maria. Gratia.
All right, so you have to say it again because we were potted down.
Oh, I raised my hand. I said, that sounds to me like Justin Tucker.
It is.
The guess I was going to, the clue I was going to give you is it's not Adam Amin.
No, but Adam.
It's about the same register.
But Adam, like, sang opera. Like, he's.
Oh, he trained to be an opera singer.
Yeah.
He never stops being interesting.
He's amazing. Like,
never
flat out
amazing.
Never
stops being interesting.
So. Yes, you were correct. That is Justin Tucker singing Ave Maria.
Somebody made the Harrison Butker, Justin Tucker cop after Jay Tuck sang the Ave Maria, and I thought it was pretty appropriate.
I did as well.
His dad is was a popular surgeon in Austin.
Really?
Yeah, it's a family of many skill sets.
Not unlike the Amins or the Rahimis.
We typically just have one.
There could be only one.
Which is why the Microsoft outage last week was a point of discussion.
So last week, do you remember when we talked about the suit that Marlon Brando wore as Don Vito Corleone in The Godfather? The tuxedo that he wore during the wedding scene.
Okay.
Was auctioned off for $200,000. In my, what I said at the time was, if you're buying a piece of movie memorabilia, and you're spending that kind of money, and you're putting it in your room of movie memorabilia, whatever kind of museum you are, or you just have a room in your house, you shouldn't have to explain it. Because a tuxedo, someone would say, oh, is that James Bond? Or is that Harvey Keitel from Pulp Fiction? It's just a tuxedo. I'm sure it's a nice tuxedo. And yes, it's the one worn by Marlon Brando, but it's still, when you walk in the room, it's just a tuxedo. So we brought up the kinds of movie memorabilia that would be worth paying for. And I want to say the one that is now up for auction was mentioned. If that tuxedo went for $200,000, what do you think they're expecting to get for Indiana Jones's hat?
$650.
I will say $350.
Right in the middle. $500. $500,000. The hat worn by Indiana Jones from the Temple of Doom, which was belonged to the estate of one of the prop masters. And
they switched the sample hats.
They say that you can see makeup around the brim of the hat. They're
all
kinds
most
of
my hats have those too.
It is a rabbit felt fedora, so $500,000. But that's the level at which, like ruby slippers, you don't have to say what are those, what's that from. I think you can walk in the room.
But sometimes, like, people like to talk about the things that they have.
I'm sure they do.
It's a conversation starter.
Sure it is.
Hey, what's with that tuxedo? Well it's funny that you ask. I got this tuxedo, so I think it's okay for it to not be immediately recognizable.
Well, it's just a lot of money. If you got the kind of money to spend it on anything and you want to explain it, that's fine. But, like, nobody has to ask if they see Boba Fett's helmet. What's that over there? What's that Boba Fett helmet?
From Star Wars?
Just in tiny, tiny little plaque letters on the bottom. It just says, from Star Wars.
As it should.
Okay, this happened last week, but I feel like he deserves his due. Winston was the iconic gorilla among the oldest in the world, and he lived at the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
The gorilla.
And he passed away at 52 years old.
Wow.
I've seen Winston a couple of times, actually.
And Winston had a heck of a life. Like, he had a personality. He was well known, of course, by park goers and also people who worked there. And they said that not only was he just a star at the San Diego Zoo, but he was also a friend and family member. Winston also raised two unrelated male gorillas, which is an unknown behavior for silverbacks. So he took people under his wing and helped them. Well, gorillas, not people, but you know what I mean. The concept to me is that very human.
Yeah, because usually that is a shunning or a beating that happens.
So visitors knew him for his quirky but gentle temperament, kind of like us. And scientists treasured him for his contributions to a critically endangered species. Now, he did father 9 other offspring, but then he also, you know, took people under his wing, which I thought was pretty cool. So they're critically endangered, the western lowland gorillas in several Central African countries. And Winston was considered one of the oldest in the world. He arrived at the zoo in 1984. It was one
Damn
of 3,000
animals.
Yeah. 3,000 animals representing 300 species at the San Diego Zoo, which is world famous. He even had health complications in 2017. And apparently most great apes in zoos die from cardiovascular disease.
Because they don't get enough exercise and maybe their diet isn't quite as good.
Sounds like us. We've transferred our issues onto them.
And I know Chicagoans, of course, remember, was it Bushman and Samson was the other one? The one at the Great Ape House, when they originally expanded the new Great Ape House, I believe in the...
And Grape Ape.
No, don't get me started on that either.
Oh, that was brought up last week.
And there was, I think it was Samson who would, and this is the big alpha silverback, he would come over to the glass and he would draw with his finger. And he would bring people up, and he'd make these adorable faces, and he'd take those, like, take food in his mouth and, like, finger paint on there, and people thought it was so cute. And then he'd turn around, and he'd wait for everyone to put their face up there, and then he'd turn around and smack the glass as hard as he could just to get everybody screaming and running away, and then he would laugh and roll around and laugh at everyone.
I like that
he would entertain himself.
I like the performance. One of the San Diego-based artists, her quote was, "He was cool as all get out." She said he came in and made this giant entrance. He ran in and started pounding his chest. Then he immediately came up to the window and looked straight out at us. So shout out to Winston, the late Winston, who sounds like he lived a good life. And I appreciate animals and gorillas getting in their personalities and hanging out with everybody and taking care of others.
The gorilla.
And sports animals. Taking care of the other sports animals.
It always comes back.
Winston sounds too cool to be a sports animal, guys. I think Winston supersedes that.
I don't know if he's cool enough to be a sports
animal. Come on. The bar is high.
Did he have white stitch jeans?
Yes.
Did he have an affliction shirt? Did Winston perhaps wear some sort of, like, jewelry that looked like it could be gears, but also, like, barbs?
When did he turn into Kevin Millar?
Kevin Millar doesn't even wear that stuff anymore.
He
would.
No, I think he actually
He did.
Has.
Dan, we can't get into that.
They did go. They went down to his ranch. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Sierra and Dempster went to his ranch, and they shot big guns and everything.
They
had a good time.
It looked pretty cool, yeah. They live the life there on that intentional talk.
Sierra posted a picture of her with a cow, and then she had posted a picture later of them eating steak, and she's like, wait, it's not the same.
Wait, so they're shooting big
before
guns
and after.
Around cows.
It's not the same thing.
Okay. That's high noon.
The sports animal.
The gorilla.
Next up, Ian Happ is going to join us right here on site at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. So don't go anywhere. Bernstein, Holmes, and Layla Rahimi on the score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Time for high noon. We have been having a fabulous day so far here at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville. We are here thanks to Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. The buffet is out, the food is being enjoyed, and we're looking forward to our conversations with Ian Happ and Curtis Granderson coming up a little bit later. We discussed the Cubs to start and just how you pretty much have to sweep this series. Now, this is it. And the Cubs have not been very good this year. And anytime they want to start being good, we can start taking them seriously as an actual contender. Because right now, in that last weekend, to salvage the last game the way they did with a shrimp, the walk-off walk, it wasn't exactly the kind of performance, regardless of the outcomes themselves. They didn't hit again. They didn't hit.
The problem is not just the lack of hits, it's the subsequent lack of runs. To have four runs an entire series, it's concerning. But I do think at least they got the W there.
We talked to Mark Grody. We talked about the guy in the clown suit who lost his fantasy league. And we discussed how we're going to tell you the truth about Bears training camp, regardless of the loud factions of Bears fandom that exist that seemingly just want reinforcement of seashells and balloons all the time. Well, you're not going to get that here.
Well, I mean, look, when it's appropriate, we're all about these seashells and balloons. Sports is fun.
Yeah, but they got to earn the seashells and the balloons.
And sporps. Also fun.
Sporps.
It's time.
I want you to tell me who's singing this, and I will tell you. Although, you know what? I don't want to give you that clue yet. Hit it, studs.
Ave Maria. Gratia plena. Maria gratia plena.
All right, so you have to say it again because we were potted down.
Oh, I raised my hand. I said, that sounds to me like Justin Tucker.
It is.
The clue I was going to give you is it's not Adam Amin.
No, but Adam.
It's about the same register.
But Adam, like, sang opera. Like, he's.
Oh, he trained to be an opera singer.
Yeah.
He never stops being interesting.
He's amazing. Like,
never
flat out amazing.
Never stops being interesting.
So. Yes, you were correct. That is Justin Tucker singing Ave Maria.
Somebody made the Harrison Butker, Justin Tucker cop after Jay Tuck sang the Ave Maria, and I thought it was pretty appropriate.
I did as well.
His dad is was a popular surgeon in Austin.
Really?
Yeah, it's a family of many skill sets.
Not unlike the Amins or the Rahimis.
We typically just have one.
That could be only one.
Which is why the Microsoft outage last week was a point of discussion.
So last week, do you remember when we talked about the suit that Marlon Brando wore as Don Vito Corleone in The Godfather? The tuxedo that he wore during the wedding scene.
Okay.
Was auctioned off for $200,000. What I said at the time was, if you're buying a piece of movie memorabilia, and you're spending that kind of money, and you're putting it in your room of movie memorabilia, whatever kind of museum you are, or you just have a room in your house, you shouldn't have to explain it. Because a tuxedo, someone would say, oh, is that James Bond? Or is that Harvey Keitel from Pulp Fiction? It's just a tuxedo. I'm sure it's a nice tuxedo. And yes, it's the one worn by Marlon Brando, but it's still, when you walk in the room, it's just a tuxedo. So we brought up the kinds of movie memorabilia that would be worth paying for. And I want to say the one that is now up for auction was mentioned. If that tuxedo went for $200,000, what do you think they're expecting to get for Indiana Jones's hat?
$650.
I will say $350.
Right in the middle. $500. $500,000. The hat worn by Indiana Jones from the Temple of Doom, which belonged to the estate of one of the prop masters. And
they switched the sample hats.
It's, no, this is, but they say that there are, there you can see makeup around the brim of the hat. There are,
yeah,
all kinds,
most
of
my hats have those too.
It is a rabbit felt fedora. So 500,000, but that's the level at which, like ruby slippers. You don't have to say, what are those? What's that from? I think,
yeah,
you can walk
in the
room.
But sometimes, like, people like to talk about the things that they have.
I'm
that
sure they do.
It's a conversation starter.
Sure it is.
Hey, what's with that tuxedo?
Well,
it's funny that you ask. I got this tuxedo, so I think it's okay for it to not be immediately recognizable.
Well, it's just a lot of money. If you got the kind of money to spend it on anything and you want to explain it, that's fine. But, like, nobody has to ask if they see Boba Fett's helmet. Well, what's that over there? What's that Boba Fett helmet?
From Star Wars?
Just in tiny, tiny little plaque letters on the bottom. It just says, from Star Wars.
As it should.
Okay, this happened last week, but I feel like he deserves his due. Winston was the iconic gorilla among the oldest in the world, and he lived at the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
The gorilla.
And he passed away at 52 years old.
Wow. I've seen Winston a couple of times, actually.
And Winston had a heck of a life. Like, he had a personality. He was well known, of course, by park goers and also people who worked there. And they said that not only was he just a star at the San Diego Zoo, but he was also a friend and family member. Winston also raised two unrelated male gorillas, which is an unknown behavior for silverbacks. So he took people under his wing and helped them. Well, gorillas, not people, but you know what I mean. The concept to me is that very human.
Yeah, because usually that is a shunning or a beating that happens.
So visitors knew him for his quirky but gentle temperament, kind of like us. And scientists treasured him for his contributions to a critically endangered species. Now, he did father 9 other offspring, but then he also, you know, took people under his wing, which I thought was pretty cool. So they're critically endangered, the western lowland gorillas in several Central African countries. And Winston was considered one of the oldest in the world. He arrived at the zoo in 1984. It was one
Damn
of 3,000
3,000
animals representing 300 species at the San Diego Zoo, which is world famous. He even had health complications in 2017. And apparently most great apes in zoos die from cardiovascular disease.
Because they don't get enough exercise and maybe their diet isn't quite as good.
Sounds like us. We've transferred our issues onto them.
And I know Chicagoans, of course, remember, was it Bushman and Samson was the other one? The one at the Great Ape House, when they originally expanded the new Great Ape House, I believe in the...
And Grape Ape.
No, don't get me started on that either.
Oh, that was brought up last week.
And there was, I think it was Samson who would, and this is the big alpha silverback, he would come over to the glass, and he would draw with his finger, and he would let people bring people up, and he'd make these adorable faces, and he'd take those, like, food in his mouth and, like, finger paint on there, and people thought it was so cute. And then he'd turn around and he'd wait for everyone to put their face up there, and then he'd turn around and smack the glass as hard as he could just to get everybody screaming and running away, and then he would laugh and roll around and laugh at everyone.
I like it. I like
that he would entertain himself.
I like the performance. One of the San Diego-based artists, her quote was, "He was cool as all get out." She said he came in and made this giant entrance. He ran in and started pounding his chest. Then he immediately came up to the window and looked straight out at us. So shout out to Winston, the late Winston, who sounds like he lived a good life. And I appreciate animals and gorillas getting in their personalities and hanging out with everybody and taking care of others. So,
the gorilla.
And sports animals. Taking care of the other sports animals.
It always comes back.
Winston sounds too cool to be a sports animal, guys. I think Winston supersedes that.
I don't know if he's cool enough to be a sports
animal. Come on. The bar is high.
Did he have white stitch jeans?
Yes.
Did he have an affliction shirt? Did Winston perhaps wear some sort of, like, jewelry that looked like it could be gears, but also, like, barbs?
When did he turn into Kevin Millar?
Kevin Millar doesn't even wear that stuff anymore.
He would.
No, I think he actually
He did.
Has.
Dan, yeah. We can't get into that.
They did go. They went down to his ranch. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Sierra and Dempster went to his ranch, and they shot big guns and everything.
They
had
looked
a good
pretty
time.
Cool. Yeah, they lived the life there on that intentional talk.
Sierra posted a picture of her with a cow. And then she had posted a picture later of them eating steak. And she's like, wait, it's not the same.
Wait, so they're shooting big
before
guns.
Before and after.
Around cows.
It's not the same thing.
Okay. That's high noon.
The sports animal.
The gorilla.
Next up, Ian Happ is going to join us right here on site at Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. So don't go anywhere. Bernstein, Holmes, and Layla Rahimi on The Score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.